Good morning. This morning's scripture is Matthew 11, 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is a reading of God's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
God provides. I feel like we hear this saying a lot in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Because the weeks leading up to Christmas are laden with great needs and impossible deadlines. Not sure how you're going to pay for the tooth extraction you have to get the week before Christmas Eve. God provides. Not sure how you'll ever finish buying, let alone wrapping, all of your presents for family and friends. God provides. Not sure how it is physically possible for you to eat another cookie at another Christmas party. God provides. God provides is the assurance that God is with us, even during stressful and unpredictable seasons of life. God provides even when we can't see God, even when we aren't sure whether or not God is there. It is the assurance that God in Jesus is the one who is to come, the one we've been expecting for all of Advent. Every year during Advent, the church gathers to ask itself two fundamental questions. The first is, who is Jesus? And the second is, what difference does Jesus make in the life of our congregation? In our scripture passage for this morning, John asks Jesus, "Hey, are you the one that we've been waiting for, or do we need to be waiting for someone else?" Even though John knows that Jesus is the one who gives sight to the blind, mobility to the lame, healing to the leper, hearing to the deaf, resurrection to the dead, and good news to the poor. John includes these details to convince us that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. Jesus is the beginning of God's kingdom here on earth. He's the one who goes out ahead of us and prepares a place for us. But when we look around our world, we see a world that appears to be pretty much the same as it was before Jesus came. The blind still can't see. The lame still can't walk. And the poor still long for relief. It's hard to believe that things will get better when every day we see evidence of injustice, powerlessness, scarcity, and violence. Yet we return to this text during Advent to remind ourselves that God never gives up on offering the world opportunities to become more like the realm of heaven. The clearest example we have of this, of course, is when God sent God's Son to dwell among us and to prepare a place for us in the wilderness. This week, I've been reflecting on where the church finds itself in the wilderness. And I see the church struggling in the wilderness when it wrestles with this idea of scarcity. Scarcity is this belief that we won't have enough resources, whether it be money or people, to do the work that we feel that God is calling us to. The problem with scarcity is that it is often mean-spirited. Instead of saying, for example, "Geez, it looks like we just don't have enough volunteers to run the Christmas party," scarcity tells us, "We don't have enough volunteers to run the Christmas party because people are awful and they're lazy and no one wants to help." I think scarcity becomes mean-spirited because it is rooted in fear. Fear that things are hard because God has abandoned us. The other challenging thing about scarcity is that it is really a lack of faith in God. Because when we freak out because we think we won't have enough volunteers, what we're really saying is that we don't trust that God can provide. And when a church gives in to this scarcity mindset, it can no longer see the creative power of God amidst the suffering of our world. And when we can no longer hope that God can do the impossible, we miss the surprises that God has in store for us along the way. This past week, I was surprised that every one of our angel tags at Mount Nebo were claimed. A week ago today, only 19 of our 61 gifts were claimed. I could feel myself start to panic. How was a congregation with 20 people in worship going to come up with 40 additional Christmas gifts in 1 week? Especially given the fact that I knew every single person in worship had already signed up for 2, 3, even 12 gifts. But then I remembered that I pastor 2 congregations. I also remembered that you guys only had 8 angel tags this year, and a few of you were a little disappointed that you didn't have anyone to buy for. So I took half of Mount Nebo's angel tags and I brought them with me here to Glenshaw Valley. By the end of our congregational meeting last week, almost all of the angel tags were claimed. Now, faced with this great need and this impossible deadline, it would have been really easy for me to give in to scarcity, to say, "I'm going to do the best with the resources that I have, but if we just don't have enough gifts for the kids, then some kids are going to have to go without gifts this year." Instead, people in both congregations said, "Oh no, it is unacceptable for kids to go without gifts at Christmas. Let's work together, let's put our heads together and figure this out." Watching you all work together to find gifts for our food families this week gave me a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It also reaffirmed my hope that our God indeed provides. On this third Sunday in Advent, we light the candle of joy. We have joy because the one who is to come is already here. We have joy because we are already starting to see glimpses of the kingdom of God unfolding all around us. Yes, the world appears to be pretty much the same as it was before Jesus came. But we know that's not true. Jesus came and Jesus changed everything. And for that, we rejoice. The key question for us on this third Sunday in Advent is whether the good news of God's blessing in Jesus will take root in us and produce the fruits of faith, or whether we will see signs of God's kingdom in breaking and take offense and then turn away. See, when confronted with this life-changing, blows your mind, seems too good to be true reality of Jesus here in our midst, it's way easier to be offended, to say, that's not the way we've always done things, than to receive the blessing. As we go from this place, I pray that we would be open to the blessings of God, however they unfold in our lives in the week leading up to Christmas. That even amidst the suffering of our world, we would have hope that God continues to provide, and that in Jesus, all things are indeed possible. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.